we'll go ahead and transition then to our first presenter, who is Dr. Brian Gould, who is currently an associate professor in the Department of Agriculture and Applied Economics in the University of Wisconsin, and is in extension there at the Madison campus. He teaches classes in econometrics, managerial economics, and introductory applied economics. He previously was an associate editor of the American Journal of Agricultural Economics. His areas of research expertise include dairy marketing, dairy price risk management, U.S. dairy policy, and the analysis of food purchase determinants domestically as well as internationally. He's received numerous teaching and extension-related awards over his career. Dr. Gould holds a Ph.D. from Cornell University and a master's and bachelor's of arts degrees from the University of Connecticut. Brian, we very much appreciate your willingness to spend time with us today. I know a number of the folks in the audience have questions on the Dairy Margin Protection Program, so without further ado, let's get started.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity to participate in your program. I've had great respect for the efforts you guys are doing over the years, so thanks again for inviting me. Yeah, as you can see from my first slide, I'm going to talk about the Dairy Margin Protection Program. I'm not being too outrageous when I say that we're in a new era in terms of dairy policy in the U.S. with the passage of the 2014 Farm Bill. We have a real structural change in terms of how we intervene in the dairy sector, and it's sort of a wait-and-see type of situation now because we've never been there before. So let's what's happened with in terms of changes with the 2014 Farm Bill with respect to the dairy title. The major policy instrument that's going to be existing from now on for the next 5 years at least, unless there's some new legislation, is going to be a dairy margin protection program. This, again, is an insurance program that enables one to set a floor on the income over feed cost or margin per the definition of price and feed cost within the program. And I'm going to spend, obviously, the rest of my time talking about that. But I want to just go through some of the other changes that are going on as a result of the 2014 Farm Bill. We created a dairy product donation program, and this is a program where the secretary can purchase dairy products and donate them not to enter the commercial market. And this program kicks in when the margins are relatively very, very low for a number of months, and there's no limit on how much can be bought, but there's also no minimum amount that has to be purchased. There's not a lot of detail in the design of that program, but it's sort of a mini version of the dairy product price support program, but clearly is not going to have the same effect because producers of dairy products do not have the right to sell as much as they want to the CCC. So that's, there in terms of trying to keep those margins up. The MILC program, Milk Income Loss Contract Program, will be terminated once the margin protection program is operational, and that the assumption is it'll be the last month of coverage of MILC will be August. With the way dairy prices are now and feed costs, we don't anticipate any MILC payments for the rest of the year, so we shouldn't see any activity in the MILC program, even though it still exists. The dairy product price support program was repealed. Again, this was initiated in the 1940s. Been a stalwart for forever in terms of the dairy policy, and that is no longer in place. The dairy export incentive program was repealed. Again, not a very active dairy policy, but in the past it has been, but over the last 4 or 5 years, not very, very active. And finally, with the passage of the 2008 Farm Bill, private manufacturers of dairy products other than Class 1 could offer forward pricing contracts to dairy farmers. That was renewed under the 2014 Farm Bill, so both co-ops as well as private firms can now continue to offer forward and minimum price contracts to their patrons. So let's talk about a little bit about the Margin Protection Program. It's a voluntary program. Producers do not have to join it. There's an annual coverage decision. There's some details about this that are, again, still being worked out, but again, there will be an annual decision in terms of how much of your milk you want to cover and the target income over feed cost that you're going to choose for that insurance program. This allows dairymen to protect against severe downturns in milk price, feed cost, increasing feed cost, or a combination of both. This program, for those of you familiar with LGM Dairy, it acts a little bit different in that there's an indemnity determination every other month. That is, there's six two-month periods, and in those 2 months, there's an indemnity determination for those associated 2 months. USDA's national all-milk price is used as the milk price, and an average feed cost using U.S. average prices are used on the cost side. And the ration that's used to determine that feed cost is fixed, and it's assumed that everyone buys their feed at U.S. average prices. So again, a little bit different than LGM Dairy in terms of the flexibility of designing that ration. So the actual dairy production margin is the U.S. average all milk price minus that feed cost. And again, that's dollars per hundredweight of milk. The actual production history is defined within the legislation as the maximum of the calendar year production over the 2011 to 2013 period. Now, this level of production can be revised annually, but the maximum coverage cannot increase more than the average percent increase in the U.S. Milk production. So again, a little bit restrictive in terms of those that are expanding their herds at an aggressive rate. Cannot exceed the level of growth for the industry as a whole. The amount of milk that could be covered by this insurance program ranges from 25% at the minimum to a maximum of 90% of your production history, and that range is defined in 5% increments. The level of margin is, again, ranges from $4 per hundredweight of milk to $8 a hundredweight of milk in 50-cent increments. Again, that's set in the legislation. So what are used in terms of the determination of the fee? Well, again, the U.S. average price received for corn on a monthly basis as reported in ag prices will be used for the corn price. The Market News Central Illinois soybean meal price will be used for the soybean meal, and the average U.S. baled alfalfa hay price as reported in agricultural prices will be used as the source of data for the alfalfa hay used in the ration. Here's the ration that's assumed. It's a heavy ration in that not only the milk cows, but also the supporting cows and bulls in the herd, their feed requirements are attributed to the milking cows. So you can see here's the assumption about the percent of herd by cow type, how much they have to consume, and then the quantity of various feeds consumed. So that's, again, a weighted average of where the weights are the percent of herd used. So, again, a little bit different than the typical ration we see for a dairy cow because, again, it includes those supporting animals that are on the dairy operation as a whole. Again, shell corn, corn silage, soybean meal, and alfalfa hay are the feed ingredients, and corn silage is valued using the corn price. I'm not going to get into the details. And this ration assumes a 69 pound per day, not tons per day, but pounds per day production per cow. Here's a timeline of historical income over feed costs using the definition as set out in the dairy subtitle. We have all the data. It's public domain data, and you can see there's a range, again, from $4 to $8, and very few $8 margins, although that is a possibility. It seems like the sweet spot on this margin insurance program is around $6 per hundredweight. That captures quite a few significant downturns. $4 per hundredweight, very, very unlikely to occur and very, very rare. But again, it's an extreme event if that does happen. Again, our forecast, we looked at starting in January of 2014 and did a forecast of our income over feed costs, again, using the definition with this insurance program. And you can see, again, quite high relative to the $8 maximum that is allowed under this program. So we don't see any payments that would be forthcoming under if the margin protection program was currently in place. Now, the premiums vary not only by the level of coverage, that is the level of income over feed costs, but also how much milk you insure. The cutoff is 4 million pounds, not 4 million pounds of production, but 4 million pounds of coverage. Prior to 4 million pounds, you have in that blue box here a showing of the schedule of premiums, and to the right is above 4 million pounds, and you can see quite a bit of difference. And for the first 2 years of the program, that difference will be even greater because there'll be a 25% reduction in the premiums for milk under 4 million pounds, but not including the $8 income over feed cost margin. So these are this difference between the two premiums will increase over the short term. And for a couple of rates or changes, there's quite a bit of change in the premium relative to what you're getting for protection. For example, above 4 million pounds, going from $6.50 to $7 income over feed cost, which is a 50 cent increase, of course, the premium is going up by 54 cents. So, again, it's an unusual type of premium structure. It's not set to be actuarially sound. Again, these are subsidized at every level. But, again, we don't know what that level of subsidy is. We only have information as to the level of premiums. But, again, you can see quite a bit of difference across that $4 million, below $4 million, above $4 million target. What I've done here is I've netted out the premium just to see what kind of net margin we're talking about. And especially when you're over 4 million pounds, you cannot get over $6.60 margin protection net of premium costs. Again, really a high premium of $1.36 per hundredweight for greater than 4 million pounds compared to only 48 cents a hundredweight for $8 protection under 4 million pounds. So again, the range, the effective range of insurance is $4 to $7.53 less than 4 million, and $4 to $6.64 under the greater than 4 million insured. That is for the amount of milk above that 4 million pounds. Obviously, one thing I forgot to mention is that at $4 a hundredweight margin, which is does not happen that often, there is no premium. It's 100% subsidized. All the producer does is has to sign up, and there's no charge for that. The premium rates are fixed, so they do not vary, unlike LGM Dairy, they do not vary with the market conditions. Those rates are going to be fixed for the life of the farm bill. Again, the farmers can again choose from $48, and the milk and feed market prices are updated bimonthly to determine, again, whether or not there's an indemnity due, but not to adjust the premiums. Those premiums will not change over the life of the farm bill, other than that 25% reduction for the less than 4 million for the first 2 years of the program. So what we've done is we back in when we got an idea of what this program was going to look like, we went back to 2009 and looked in January 1st and we developed a confidence interval using the futures prices that exist at the beginning of 2009 with respect to the expected income over feed cost for 2009. And you can see that over that 2009 period, not surprisingly given what happened, that this margin insurance was in the money for almost every month and with well within the 95% confidence interval, which is represented by that blue area, whereas our prediction is that one line. Our forecasted margin average for for the entire year was $5.15. And again, you can see that would be come into play quite significantly throughout that 2009 period. We started in January of 2004, and we forecasted forward for the rest for the 2014 period the expected income over feed cost. And we are in a radically different condition compared to 2009. In fact, our overall forecast within that, again, looking at the average of that confidence interval, or the middle of that confidence interval, our average farm bill margin for 2014, we estimated to be $8.86. So even within the 95% confidence interval of our forecast, we do not see, again, back in January 1st, any margin indemnities if that margin program was in effect. And again, this is sort of, again, leading up to our questioning about how and when producers are going to have to make a decision about participating in this program. And I'll make some further comments in a couple of minutes. This margin protection program, similar to LGM Dairy, is designed to provide multi-year support for the loss in farm equity. There's no payment limitations, so there's no upper limit, and there's no limit in terms of the amount of milk that you can cover. Again, when you're in the money coverage, that may provide margins greater than we could get at using conventional instruments like the CME futures. In terms of out-of-the-money coverage, it will not provide margin protection at levels greater than $8. That is set in by the Farm Bill, whereas LGM Dairy, you can modify your income over feed cost to generate higher income over feed cost protections when you have out-of-the-money types of environments like we looked at before. Indemnities, again, are calculated every 2 months, which means that, again, 1 month could offset another. If you have a 1 month with you have dramatically or higher milk prices, and for example, and there's a significant drop in that second month, they could offset one another without even talking about what's going on terms of the feed prices. The coverage options, given the level of subsidy, may be cheaper than a conventional risk management tools, as well as with LGM Dairy. This is not an actually unfair insurance contract because the premiums do not adjust to changing market conditions. They are going to be fixed regardless of what's going on in terms of the milk price and the feed costs. What is the downside of this margin protection program? Well, first, one cannot lock in any margins above $8. With LGM and with the use of appropriate use of options, one can set a floor greater than $8. And this is important because we're not sure what the relationship is to the margins defined under the Farm Bill program versus what an actual farm would see. That is, we're doing some work now trying to get some basis information between the margin protection income over feed cost and what actually some representative farms experience at the same time period. These are based on national average numbers. No farm level data is used in terms of prices, and everyone is assumed to be using the same feed. Everyone is assumed to buy that feed using basically the same ration, regardless of whether you're actually a grazer operation or not, for example. Here in Wisconsin, and along with my colleagues at Michigan State, Ohio State, Illinois, and Minnesota, we are working on developing some systems that allow for a local farm basis calculation. Again, to get an idea if choosing a $6, for example, income over feed cost as defined under the Dairy Producer Margin Protection Program is sufficient to cover your requirements on your farm. Again, as I indicated, the feed ration is fixed. You can only cover up to 90% of your production history. enrolling in this dairy producer margin protection program has no impact on use of conventional futures and options-based risk management strategies or with contracting with a particular plant in terms of a minimum price contract, but it does impact the ability to participate in LGM dairy. A dairy producer can only participate in one of the two programs that are currently out there in terms of USDA's margin insurance tools. Again, if you participate in LGM dairy, you can't participate in the dairy producer margin program and vice versa. This has some significant implications, especially if there's an option to opt in and out of this program over the five-year life of the contract or the farm bill. I'll raise these issues in a minute. So here I provide a comparison between the Dairy Margin Protection Program and LGM Dairy. Again, the Dairy Margin Protection Program provides a level of protection between $4 and $8 per hundredweight, regardless of market conditions. It's not actually fair because, again, premiums are subsidized to a very large degree. And that indemnity payments will occur when that margin falls below the insured level. So again, that's the floor, and the indemnity will be the difference between that floor and what the actual income over feed cost is as defined by that dairy margin protection program. No payment limitations or AGI caps on eligibility. That's a significant factor. In comparison, LGM dairy, again, that's going to protect against gross margin losses and they adjust to what's going on in terms of the market conditions at the time of purchase of that LGM contract. Pre-subsidy, the premiums are set to be actuarially sound. There is a subsidy up to 50% of the premiums depending upon deductible. The indemnity payments will occur not every other month, but once per contract, regardless of the length of the contract. If you have a 10-month LGM dairy contract, it'll be 10 months before an indemnity determination will be made. If you have a six-month contract, it'll be after 6 months or thereabouts. The other issue, unlike the Dairy Margin Protection Program, there is limited funding for LGM dairy, and that has not been impacted by this farm bill. That's set under separate crop insurance legislation, so there's no adjustments to the farm bill, the LGM dairy support with the passage of the 2014 farm bill. So, what do we as dairy economists, what do we have in terms of questions about the dairy margin protection program? Well, first thing, we don't know if it's a five-year program, but we don't know if sign-up will be for 5 years or it will happen on a year-to-year basis. Obviously, depending upon which way that goes, it's going to impact the producer decision-making process a lot differently. For example, can producers opt out in and out on an annual basis? I would doubt that that's going to be to occur, but again, the details of this program have been left up to the secretary to develop. There isn't a lot of detail in the legislation itself. It's very short relative to other farm bills talking about the dairy subtitle, but again, we're unclear about whether there's going to be an opt-in and opt-out policy. That would be unusual if it does occur, but that's a possibility. If it is a one-year commitment, when is that decision going to have to be made? And again, that makes it an important implication in terms of dairy producers deciding whether or not to participate in LGM dairy or the Dairy Margin Protection Program. For individuals using LGM dairy, it's unclear about how USDA will grandfather in those producers. It's unclear if USDA will treat producers who have purchased a contract, LGM dairy contract, prior to the passage of the farm bill versus those who have purchased the contract after January 2014. We're unclear about the implications. Are they going to allow those contracts to expire and then let the producers come in, or are they going to allow the producers to null those LGM dairy contracts and enter into the Dairy Producer Margin Protection Program. Those questions have not been answered, and it's unclear as to how that's going to occur. Again, these announcements of these program details have to happen by September 1st, unless there's some legislation that allows the secretary to delay that. It's set as September 1st in the Farm Bill. How are dairy operations defined? As you all know, there's a variety of ways a dairy farm is organized from a ownership perspective. There is some mention of what a dairy farm is in the Farm Bill itself, but not as detailed as one needs in order to carry out all of the or categorize all of the different types of financial arrangements that are out there. A natural guess would be that the same definitions that are currently used on the MILC program would be used under the Dairy Producer Margin Protection Program, but again, that has not been stated as of yet. The big question is with respect to the data to be used. Under the MILC program, the payments are not determined until the final or the revised feed prices are released by USDA in subsequent ag prices reports. The question we have is are the preliminary prices going to be used in the determination of indemnity payments, or is the program going to wait until the revised prices are made available? Again, that can mean at least a month delay for each month. It's unclear. There's no detail on that. This has important implications when corn prices being very high, there were substantial revisions on a month-to-month basis of those corn prices. Historically, there is no revision on hay prices, but again, that could change. But historically, there have not been revisions to those hay prices after they're released. And we're not sure about what's going to happen in terms of the soybean prices, if those are revised or not. But bottom line, we're very concerned about those corn prices in terms of whether they're going to be the preliminary or the revised that need to be released. And that would just delay the determination of payouts by at least a month. So that's a quick summary, and it's about as quick as the write-up in the Farm Bill. There isn't a lot of detail. We're waiting for that. And unfortunately, in order for us to develop some of the education materials that we want to generate and the support systems and the decision-making tools, we have to wait until those details are made available. And again, supposedly by September, the secretary is supposed to come out with final rules. With that, I'll turn the floor back over to John and let you take it away.
Oh, great. Thank you very much, Brian, for those insightful comments. We have had a number of questions come in here, and I'm not clear if we're going to get across all of them, but let me ask you a couple just now, and then hopefully we'll be able to, in our panel section at the end, finish out the questions, a number of detailed questions. The first one of which is asking, is the margin a net margin after premium? If not, it would seem that $8 is closer to $6.50 after the $4 million limit.
Yes, that's what that table shows, because the income over feed cost protection is not net of premium. That's pre-premium. That's why I included that additional table, because of the significant increases on the greater than four million pound protection level. And I want to emphasize that the first 4 million pounds, regardless of whether you produce, say, 8 million pounds a year, that first 4 million is going to be covered by that lower premium structure. It's after that is that additional milk is going to be at that higher level. But know that those premiums, that income over feed cost is pre-net of that the premium that's actually going to be paid.
Okay, that explains that a bit more. So thank you for that. Next question is asking, do you know or are you aware of whether it's to be Farm Service Agency or the Risk Management Agency that will administer the margin program, And if it's to be Farm Service Agency, are you aware of what experience they have in working with dairy production in the past?
Well, FSA will be administrating this program. They were the ones that took charge of the MILC program, so they're very much aware of dairy producers and dairy production, and they know how to handle the various definitions. And that's why I indicated in my presentation that in terms of defining a dairy farm, what constitutes a dairy farm, I would think the MILC rules would be a good starting point. I've talked with several people that are going to be involved in that decision process, and they agree with me that that would be a beginning point of discussion in terms of how to define a dairy farm for purposes of the margin insurance. But FSA will administer. They're basically going to, with MILC going by the wayside, their function then is going to be supporting the dairy and margin program.
Okay, great. So one other question here we'll try to get before Eric gets started. It looks like it's from a producer. Says their herd looks like the insurance could certainly be well over $100,000 in premiums. Question is, will they be expected, that is the producer, be expected to offer that total premium payment at the beginning of the year, given our current understanding of how things are going to work?
Well, that's a very good question. We're unclear. There's no detail in the farm bill. In comparison with LGM Dairy, you don't have to pay the premium until after the contract is over. It's unclear whether those dollar amounts are going to have to be paid in one installment or maybe multiple installments. We just don't know at this point. And again, it's left up to the secretary to determine those rules.
Okay, great. So thank you for your many insights on how this program will work. We have a lot of other questions, like you said. Hopefully we'll get a chance to get through all of those as we finish up here. But